ESPN Daily is presented by Supercuts, the smarter, easier way to get a haircut. It's not just any haircut. It's Supercuts. Dave Fleming, I bring you on here because you like to make this bold claim that the entire NFL season can hinge on one injury. So before you tell me about the condition, the injury, just tell me the impact that you believe this has across teams. How big a deal is this thing?
This will change the direction of the NFL season, and it changed the entire Super Bowl last year. So how about that, Sergeant Hulka? The technical term is dorsiflexion, hyperextension to the hallux metatarsophalangeal joint, specifically the flexor hallucis longus tendon and the sesamoid complex, resulting in a plantar capsuloligamentous sprain.
So I'm guessing that's like a knee thing or an Achilles thing?
Turf toe!
Dave, turf toe, I mean, I've heard of turf toe, but that sounds like floor burn to me. It's like alliterative, it's kind of cutesy, it has a funny bone kind of aspect to its branding. It just seems like something you'd make up to get out of gym class, honestly.
Oh, the first three people I asked who talked to me about this story, including my daughter, she said, turf toe? Isn't that's just athlete's foot, right? On the, it's just a fungus on the toe. I'm like, no, this is actually a legitimate ligament and tendon injury that changes the course of NFL seasons and Hall of Fame careers. And this entire league and $10 billion industry all hinges on a tiny bone that is about roughly the size of a pea.
Imagine the body of a star quarterback, this finely tuned athletic marvel, and all the footwork involved in his success. Now, picture that old board game Operation with all the bones laid out and how you've got to get in there to the teeniest part way down at the foot. The part that apparently means everything. Today, Dave Fleming gets to the bottom of one of the most mysterious injuries in the NFL. A problem that comes with a whimsical name and a serious warning. Tread carefully. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Wednesday, October 20th. This is ESPN Daily. So Dave, I think of you as this proprietor of like a cabinet of sports curiosities. I talk to you and you always have some weird stuff to tell me about. So when you said that you were writing about this particular injury with 50 syllables in it that I still can't even repeat in imitation, I really didn't know where you were going with this. So why did you want to write about the thing we all know more conventionally as turf toe?
Well, it's a perfect example of a term everybody in the NFL and sports throws around like we know what it is. Oh, that guy's got turf toe. Oh, he's out with turf toe. When the truth of the matter is, especially in the media, we have no idea what we're saying. It's like when we're like, they're in cover two defense. It's like, do you really know what that is? Probably
not. No, Dave, we're spider two Y bananaing here. Right. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Exactly. And then the quickest way to clear out an NFL locker room is to ask somebody about turf toe. I mean, guys are superstitious. They don't want to talk about it. And especially people who suffered from it. Philip Lindsay of the Texans.
The running back, yeah.
He had it last year in Denver. And apparently, right, it's too soon because he scheduled and canceled at the last second at least three interviews with me. And I think my number would come up on his phone and he'd go, nope, not too soon, too soon. And it was remarkable for years. I couldn't believe that these guys who they deal with concussions, they deal with compound fractures, they deal with all kinds of serious stuff. It was turf toe that they dreaded the most. And so I needed to get to the bottom of it.
The dread around turf toe, Dave. I mean, I do want to understand better the claim that you made at the top of this, which is that the entire industrial complex of professional football hinges on this thing, on turf toe. What do you draw on for evidence there? What's your case study here?
Well, Patrick Mahomes and the Super Bowl last year. He is a generational talent. And what's he worth? $450 million? And he, the only thing that's ever made him look even close to mortal was the turf toe that he suffered against the Browns, and that got worse, continually worse, until the Super Bowl, when he was absolutely a shell of himself.
So that divisional playoff game against the Browns, it was January. What happened there? Describe the scene for those who maybe did not recall it as vividly.
Really, turf toe happens when there is a hyperextension, which is the big toe sort of going back toward the top of the foot. And it's usually beyond 70 degrees. That's when you start to have problems with the bones, the tendons, and the ligaments. And he suffered that, I believe it was while he was scrambling.
And look at Mahomes is getting worked on. In fact, they're going to cover him with the blue tent. Wow, that's a huge thing. I mean, just him going in there makes you nervous if you're a Chiefs fan.
The minute that we saw Patrick Mahomes hobbling back to the blue tent, grabbing his big toe, the reason why every NFL player went, oh no, was because they knew he was, under normal circumstances, looking at another 6 months of being in pain every second of every day.
Well, Jim, I was watching Patrick Mahomes in that blue tent. They were looking at his left big toe.
You talk about the importance of turf toe. You know, he also suffered a concussion in that game.
Oh no, he's down, Jim. Uh-oh.
He is absolutely dizzy.
You can tell he was out of it for a little bit.
At this point, he's not sure what stadium he's in.
And while his brain healed well enough for him to play against the Bills in the next round, his toe didn't. There's another aspect of turf toe that's really interesting, and it's why the players hate it so much or dread it so much, is you really can't numb that injury. The Toradol doesn't really affect it, and you can't numb it with a needle because
Toradol, like the painkiller all these guys inject when things hurt, that does not help turf toe?
No, that's because it's contained in such a small joint. There is no place for the inflammation and the swelling to go. It's extremely painful. One player described it as like having a toothache in your toe. And every time you move, it shoots that sort of white hot shock of electricity through your entire body.
Jeez. And so for people who don't recall how the AFC title game and really the Super Bowl went, with that as the backdrop, that toothache shooting electricity through this guy's body from the bottom up, how did Mahomes look in those games seen through that lens?
You know, I think they taped it, and I believe that he used a different size shoe and for the championship game, and they were able to put in a carbon fiber.
Like an orthotic?
Yeah, an orthotic into his shoe, and he was able to get through the Bills game okay. But you could tell in the Super Bowl.
But Mahomes is just hammered by Ndamukong Suh. He's got guts, moving around with a bad foot. But your season's on the line. He's hanging in there trying to like find anybody at the last second.
If you don't have use of your big toe, there's no explosion. There's no cutting. There's no planting. I mean, if you imagine the way a quarterback throws, the last thing where all that sort of energy and movement goes to is his front big toe.
What you're telling me, Dave, is that it's one thing to have a porous offensive line, as the Chiefs did in that game, against Vita Vea and the Buccaneers' defensive line, which absolutely destroyed them. It is another thing to have all of that, plus the inability to like plant and throw and escape and get velocity, it sounds like, on the thing you've been doing your whole life, which is throw a football. I'm realizing the street name for this injury is really doing a disservice to how miserable it must have been for Patrick Mahomes in that Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a really good point. Obviously, there were a lot of other factors at play, and I don't want to downplay how great the Bucs defense was, but it's something that literally affects the best player in the biggest game of his life you know, the doctors and the surgeons that I talked to said, we should think of this just like any other tendon or ligament injury, just like a rotator cuff or an ACL or even an Achilles heel. It's exactly like that. But because of the branding, you're right. Maybe you and I, we need to come up with a new name for turf toe. Actually, I just thought, okay, maybe atomic toe. How about that?
Ooh.
I like that.
You know, the atomic nuclear thermonuclear toe?
Yes.
Just a spitball here?
That would actually be a great heavy metal band, too. But
thermonuclear toe.
I don't know. I don't know why we can't do both, right? It's a magical world. We can do both.
All right. Before we go off registering domain names and head to the trademark office, Dave, neither of us are doctors, but we still need to explain what turf toe actually is.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
By the end of this podcast, Dave, I think we'll have various business opportunities in front of us. But I do want to explain for everybody what exactly it is, because what you're describing here is, this is terrifying enough to encourage superstition around not even acknowledging it. So what even is this?
That's the funny thing is, the ironic thing, it has nothing to do with the toe. It's caused by a hyperextension of the toe, but the ligaments are all in the ball of your foot. It's all in the ligaments that connect right under that sort of big knuckle below your big toe. So it really, turf toe, it doesn't even, the term doesn't even make sense.
All right, Dave, but I'm the son of doctors, but I am I'm a measly sports gas bag at this point, so I need help. What does this actually look like for someone like me who hears those words but doesn't really get to visualize this?
Well, first of all, I feel like there should be a disclaimer, like, do you really want to know? And have you had lunch yet?
I mean, I feel like you're leading the witness here, but I have not eaten lunch and I've seen some pretty bad things in my day. So what do you got?
You know what? If you're feeling brave, Google turf toe surgery or anything along those lines.
All right. I'm in my browser, Google image, hitting the tab. Oh no. Oh my God, this foot is, so it's a torn open foot and it's
the wrong color and the shape.
Why is the color wrong? Why is all of this, it looks kind of honestly like a whitefish salad thing that's happening, which I did have for lunch recently, which is a thing I probably can have for lunch for a while now. Like there's like this eye that's winking at me from inside of the ball of this big toe.
Pablo, you're seeing one that's not that bad. Like, usually because of the inflammation, because guys are like, oh, it's only a toe, guys try to play on it or play through the pain. And by the time the surgeon gets to them, it looks like hamburger meat inside of that joint. And the inflammation.
Oh, yeah. No, I found that one. I found that one. And I legitimately did have steak tartare for my birthday, which was a couple of days ago. So, you know, Tartarto might actually be a pretty good branding now that I put this all together. And
I feel like
I regret this, honestly. I do regret this.
All across the world, there are people like pulling over in their cars right now or stopping the treadmill or like dry heaving on their way to drop their kids off at school.
Okay. But what you're telling me, though, is that, like, I'm getting the mechanics of this now, though, through the disgust, because what I'm seeing is basically, like, when I would try to run, I need to push off with my foot. The big toe is theoretically there to be that thing that bends upwards towards the top of my foot. And if that bend goes too far, like, this hamburger thing can happen.
Yeah, I mean, basically the tendons that keep the toe flexed and give you tension in that big toe in order to create explosion as you sort of come out of a cut or try to stop or hold up somebody, those basically snap. And now the toe is like it's like a windshield wiper that goes one way that doesn't come back. There's no tension there. And now you've got nothing to push off from. You've got no power. There's nothing connecting you to the ground.
So typically, how does something like this happen? How does this happen most often on a football field?
It's usually wide receivers and quarterbacks. It's skill positions, people who are cutting, jumping. A lot of times it's just a simple cut and your toe gets caught in the turf. And instead of sort of coming under and out, it just continues to bend and hyperextend. Or a lot of players will, cornerbacks get it when they jump up for a ball and they come down sort of on their toes and there's bodies on top of them hyperextend that toe beyond like 70%. Now you're talking about ligament damage and it's either a grade one, grade two, or grade three, depending on the strain.
So Dave, as a fantasy football owner, albeit a terrible one, I am familiar that, like, you know, Devontae Adams was sidelined by this, Julio Jones, these star receivers, they can't play football if this is what they're dealing with. But how pervasive is it really? Like, how many guys across the league are part of this community of silent sufferers?
Oh, I really think at some point every speed or skill position in the NFL has had to deal with turf toe or the threat of turf toe at some point in their career. But annually, I would say between 30 and 50 players every season have a serious case of turf toe. It would be easier to identify the skill players in the NFL who haven't dealt with turf toe at some point in their career than the ones that have.
So Dave, I'm now a believer here. You've converted me to the church of being terrified by thermonuclear toe, as I believe we're currently calling it. But in terms of the fate that seriously awaits the people who don't take this injury seriously, you have stories here about Jack Lambert and Deion Sanders, these two Hall of Famers, all-time players, tough guys, incredibly talented. How did this go for them?
Awful, you know? I think there was no easier way to sell this story than to mention that the fastest, most athletic player in NFL history and the toughest player in NFL history both had their careers ended prematurely by turf toe. Deion Sanders, I mean, just the most mangled, ugly-looking foot and toe. It's just deformed. Like, when people ask him about it, he will take his shoe and his sock off and go, there you go, that's what turf toe did to me. And that's what happens if players don't treat turf toe seriously and sort of rest, it becomes arthritic, and then it becomes sort of, they can't even move a couple of their toes. The entire joint, that sort of whole sesamoid complex becomes inflamed and arthritic, and then it really becomes career ending, which is incredible to think about, that Deion Sanders had his career ended by turf toe, as well as Jack Lambert, who suffered the injury before people took it seriously. And even the Steelers owner was encouraging him to take time off, but because he was a quote unquote super tough guy, he didn't want to sit out with just a toe injury. And he ended up losing. We could have had Jack Lambert for three or four more good seasons, but he literally couldn't walk anymore.
So the recovery process here, like, how do guys rehab this? What's that part like?
There, it's possible to, if it's a grade one or a grade two, it's possible to, you know, ice it, use acupuncture, tape it. They can put in those carbon fiber orthotics, but essentially they're going to be in pain, you know, for the rest of the season. And that's where you really see it takes a physical and mental toll. I mean, for real, to actually be sort of serious. You can see what it does to players. Yeah. And I think the players feel that pressure. It's like they're injured enough to affect their play, but they're not injured enough to sit out. And they're in that sort of in-between world. And I think it is frustrating and aggravating to the point where guys have broken down and cried and pleaded with their big toe to please come on. I need you. Come back.
Wait, so let's be solutions oriented here then. How can this be prevented? How is this? I mean, there have to be some things you could do if this is how bad it really is. I'm shocked that this is still happening so often.
One of the surgeons that I talked to was kind of like, the shoe industry is $100 billion industry, right? But they can't make a cleat that won't hyperextend beyond 50 degrees. It's kind of like, where are your priorities?
You know, I feel like their loss priorities should obviously, Dave, be our priorities financially. I mean, it feels like you're trying to get me to go in on a shoe company with you that is premised on the idea of no hyperextension past 50 degrees. Like, I want some of that $100 billion.
That's, I mean, it's the atomic toe shoe line from Pablo and Phlegm. I mean, we can retire tomorrow.
So Dave, having done all this reporting, having chased people out of locker rooms in an attempt to get to the bottom of this in all of these senses, how is this going to change how you live your life now?
Well, first of all, I mean, it's funny you should say that because everyone who has worked on this story has mentioned that all of a sudden now they're very conscious and aware of possibly hyperextending their toe because nobody wants that pain. Nobody wants that injury. But me personally, I'm going to be even more less active than I already am. I think that's my vow to you.
Dave Fleming, thank you for keeping us on our toes. And by that, I mean not actually on our toes at all.
Yes, do not get on your toes.
But speaking of pain, the latest in the Ben Simmons saga, a story that feels like it may never end, after the break.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Here's another story I want you to know. When we dropped our Ben Simmons episode on Tuesday with Ramona Shelburne, we looked to the past to try and tell the untold story of this Cold War between the Sixers and their former number one overall pick. But it turns out that the past is only kind of prologue. Because yesterday, at practice, this war got significantly hotter than anticipated. Yesterday, Simmons reportedly refused to participate in a defensive drill, which got him sent home by head coach Doc Rivers and suspended one game for conduct detrimental to the team, keeping him out of tonight's season opener at the New Orleans Pelicans. And while Simmons avoided his scheduled press availability, maintaining his streak of public silence, both Rivers and Joel Embiid love microphones as much as Simmons hates them. A dynamic that continues to doom this whole thing, as they both made clear again after practice.
Do you feel he wants to be here?
Well, today, not, obviously. We told him to go home. But hopefully at some point, yeah, I do.
At the end of the day, our job is not to babysit somebody. At this point, I don't care about that man, honestly. He does whatever he wants.
But it sounds like NBA Commissioner Adam Silver cares. On NBA Today, and I'm reading in between the lines here, he didn't seem to love that this is currently the biggest basketball story in the world.
It's something you never like to see as a league that, you know, I think for Ben, I think what people are suggesting is that this early in his contract, it's highly unusual to be holding out in the way he is. And so it's an unfortunate situation. And obviously that there's a reason why we have contracts in this league. If everybody just complied to according to handshakes, you wouldn't need those documents. And
so then so while we all wait to see what comes out of all of this, you should probably try to understand how we got here. And all of that is on Tuesday's episode with Ramona, who makes clear that while the reasons that led to this soap opera may well be complex, Ben Simmons hasn't exactly been willing to help himself.
There's a line in my story where I say, like, even people close to Ben, even the biggest defenders can't always defend him. Like, three people use the metaphor of, hey, when you go whitewater rafting, you fall out of the boat, you've got to participate in your own rescue.
Now, maybe yesterday was part of Ben's grand exit strategy. Maybe drowning in a sea of bad publicity and humiliating comments from your camera-ready coworkers, maybe that's actually the quickest way out of Philadelphia. Maybe that all is so. But I guess there is only one way to find out. I'm Pablo Torre, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.